in a dependence upon thee, Lord. For all needed help, I ask your very prayerful attention again to Psalm 106 and verse 43, 4 and 5. Psalm 106, verse 43, 4 and 5. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. Psalm 106, verse 43, many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and remembered for them his covenant, and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. Well, we had a few things to say this morning regarding this 43rd verse, the many times that he delivered them, and how they provoked him with their counsel. They forsook him, they went their own way. And we say, we look into our own hearts, and if we're honest with our own hearts, nothing's changed. We're still the same. But they were brought low for their iniquity. Yes, and how low they were brought, we mentioned in closing this morning about the Jonah. Why he was brought low, very low, into the whale's belly. But I was thinking a moment ago, why, how the children of Israel, you know, it reads there, doesn't it? Again in Numbers, why, and they murmured against the Lord. And what did the Lord do? He brought them low. He sent fiery serpents amongst them to bite them. And they bit the children of Israel, and many of the children of Israel died. He brought them low. And I repeat, and he still works in the same way. He still works in the same way. He chastens whom he loves. Friends, it will be a sad thing in that respect if you and I do not come under the chastening hand of God for our rebellion and our disobedience against him. It's whom he loves he chastens. Paul's got a very solemn word for those that are not there. Yes, but why, that if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. That's God's word, not mine, but our solemn. And it's true, it's God's word has got to be true. Then are ye bastards and not sons? Oh, forbid it, Lord, it should be applicable to any of us here. But many times then did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel, were brought low for their iniquity. But then we got this blessed word here. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. Just to take up that point there, the children of Israel, where there they were, crying in the wilderness, they realized their error. They realized their sin. That they had complained against Moses and against God's servant. Against God's servant and against the Lord himself. And they come to this. This how have you and I come there? We have sinned. Yes, we have sinned. And God, yes, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. And yes, he commands Moses to make a serpent like them that bites them. And it was to be made of brass, and it was to be put on a pole, and this all, and it was whosoever looked was made whole. Yes. No name, no rank, no station in life. Whosoever. And this all, and that word still stands today. Whosoever. Nevertheless, notwithstanding all their provocation, notwithstanding all their sin and their iniquity, notwithstanding all their rebellion, all their worshipping of idols, and going after the beggarly elements of this poor, wretched, dying world, he brought them low, but yes, they had this blessed sanctifying effect upon them. It caused them to cry out unto the Lord. Yes, and that's what the Lord intended it to do. And it's what he still does intend trials to do. Yes, to cause us to cry out. It might be this, oh Lord, help me. But this, oh, providing that it comes right out at the centre of your heart in sincerity and in truth, then the Lord will hear. Because he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. And when they're brought low, they're very often destitute, are they not? Yes. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction. When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. As you will observe, I always use my own Bible, but I generally open the Bible and just open it somewhere here in the centre. But I couldn't help but notice when I did this afternoon, and here in Jeremiah 31, it reads in verse 18, I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented. repented. And after that I was instructed, I smote my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. What does the Lord say? Is he Ephraim, my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. I will surely have mercy upon him. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Nevertheless, I cannot help but think of that word that you read there in the Gospels, the words of the dear Lord Jesus Christ. When he was there in Gethsemane's garden, when he went a stone's cast from his disciples, when he fell down on his face, when he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood fall to the ground, when he prayed unto his Father, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But that wasn't the end of the prayer, was it? Ah, now this all you have to me, probably the greatest word in the whole of the scriptures of truth. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The words of Jesus, never. In spite of all this, but nevertheless, he regarded their affliction. And dear Arlen, mine goes to Psalm number 40, the closing verses there. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Yes, nevertheless, in spite of all their sin and their iniquity, he would still, yes, he would go through that which was the preordained glorious plan of salvation that he, the beloved Son of God, should suffer, bleed and die in the sinner's place, Rome, instead. What a nevertheless. Nevertheless. He regarded their affliction. He regarded their low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. Why, I just think of this. It comes to mind here in the early part of the Word of God. Why, it reads about Noah. Yes. Oh, and how the Lord says this. Noah built an altar, and there he offered of every clean beast and fowl upon that altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing that I have done. The man's heart, yes, is the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. But you see, nevertheless, he regarded their affliction. Oh, is there Is there here this afternoon a poor, can I put it like this, a down and out sinner? You feel poor soul to be at the very ends of the earth. You say within yourself, yes, those things that we heard this morning is also very, very true of me. Oh, and you're being brought low. You're being brought low. Oh, for the Lord to lift you up. To lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Dear soul, to find yourself there in that blessed prayer of Jesus in Gethsemane's garden. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Yes, Jesus saw me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to save my soul from danger, interpose his precious blood. Nevertheless, he loves his people. Great and small and grasping heart, embraces all and nor with a soul apart. He toils through life. He pants through death and cries with his expiring breath, 'tis finished and complete. Nevertheless, and did the holy and the just, the soul of the sky, stoop down to wretchedness and dust that guilty worms might rise? Yes, the Redeemer left his throne, his radiant throne on high, surprising mercy, love unknown, to suffer, bleed, and die. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. What did Jesus say there in John 3? And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in it should not perish, but have everlasting life. He shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He remembered them. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. Yes, tis all those feeble desires, those wishes so weak, tis Jesus inspires and bids thee still seek. They cry for help, they cry for mercy, they cry for peace, they cry for pardon, they cry because their own insufficiency, they're like dear Paul, and they say, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this sin and death? They've been brought low. Oh, friends, yes, but being brought low. And then, yes, dear soul, to come to the throne of grace, to come to the footstool of mercy. The children of Israel. You see, they rebelled against the Lord. They worshipped their idols. They went after the things of this world. But the Lord worked, you see. He brought the enemies in their midst, who robbed them. Yes, dear soul, and the enemies today, why, they rob us, do they not? Of God's word. Yes, when we're so taken up with the things of this world, they rob us of our union, our communion with our God. We sometimes say, I'm busy. Yes. But dear soul, that the Lord might sanctify troubles to us and bring us again to his feet, to his footstool. Oh, and yes, to inquire of him, and I will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Why, yes, dear soul, here again in the book of the Leviticus. Now, am I going to find this? In the book of the Leviticus, it reads about the people, how they come and how they pray unto the Lord. Here it is, chapter 26 and verse 40. If they shall confess their iniquity, and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespasses, which they trespass against me, and that also they walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. Yes, he comes down to this time and time again, does it not? Oh, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive. Yes, and dear son, the Lord says, and their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more forever. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. Now, these things are, nationally here in Israel. But dear soul, it comes to a personal experience as well, does it not? It does. Nevertheless, he will regard their affliction when he heard their cry. Yes, this is to those that have known something of the Lord's goodness to them. And David certainly knew something. He knew many things of the Lord's goodness to him. Yeah. And you think of David. Why, you see, being so blessed as he had been, yes, in time past, he'd been delivered. Yes, he'd been delivered from Saul's javelin. But now the enemy has gone. The enemy ceased to exist. And we find poor David falling into sin. I've said this in time past, I'm not sure I've said it here, but one of the most dangerous spots and places in the life of God's dear children is when they've been blessed. Immediately after they've been blessed, up till then, there's been this earnest spirit, this seeking after Christ, this longing to know him, and for the Lord to appear in whatever way it might be. But then, you see, the Lord appears, and you see, the danger's gone. And we slip, and we stumble. And we backslide. David did. There was Bathsheba, and there was Uriah. But you know what happened? They provoked him with their counsel, were brought low for their iniquity. Yes. David's brought low for his iniquity. He brought very low for his iniquity. And yet, my friends, oh, how pleased the Lord was. Yes, to hear and answer his poor, poor prayer. Turn this up. Why, and yes, you say, and nevertheless he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. Yes, and David confesses his sin before the Lord. You say, it's here on my heart, Lord, the burden lies. Whatever, dear soul, your sin and mine may be, let us get down there on our knees. Dear soul, there's nothing to be ashamed of in getting on your knees before the God of heaven in secret. There's everything to be ashamed of and not getting there. And dear David, why, you say, he comes to the Lord. He pleads with him. Here, Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. What did this psalm say here, verse 45? He remembered, and he remembered for them his covenant, and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. According to the multitude of his mercies. Dear David realized that there was nowhere else to go. There was nowhere else for David to go. Just like Peter. Why, there was nowhere else for him to go but outside and weep bitterly. And poor David, have mercy upon me, O God. Yes. According to the multitude of his mercy. Yes, dear soul, he has many mercies for his people. But again, he will have you and I come in confessing our sin. Yes, and dear soul, and he will hear. He will regard the prayer of the dead. He will remember us in our lowest state, for his mercies endure forever. Oh, have mercy upon me. Yes. You see, if David realized, and I hope you and I realize, that we don't deserve any mercy. If there should be one in this little congregation this afternoon that thinks that they deserve mercy in some way or other, dear soul, you completely misunderstood the scriptures of truth. We don't deserve anything. No. You know that solemn hymn, isn't there? 761. And if my soul was sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. You know, and that's where the dying thief was, wasn't it? When he spoke to his companion and partner in crime. We indeed justly, but we suffer the due reward of our deeds. But you say, hey, he pleaded with the Lord in it. Lord, remember me. David here pleads, have mercy upon me, O God. No one else, no other man named, nobody else mentioned. Have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness. He remembered over them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. His loving kindness. Is, you know, we can be where dear David was. David here was in a good place, was he not? Why? Because he was at the throne of grace. He was at the footstool of mercy. And he was given to see by faith, yes, the wondrous works of God. And he looks forward. Oh, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Yes, dear soul. According. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There it is, all is. Is loving kindness. There is all is a multitude of his tender mercies. What does the psalmist say in Psalm 130? If the Lord was strict to mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Yes, dear soul, serpent-bitten sinner, this Lord's Day afternoon, look up. Look to Jesus and see him there, suffering, bleeding, dying in the sinner's place, Roman's dead. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, it's blot out my transgressions. Oh, dear soul, the Lord speaks of sin being blotted out, does he not? As a thick cloud. There's sin. It will be remembered no more. Here, my memory is correct, in the last verse of Isaiah 43. Why, and he speaks here, I even I am he that blotted out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sin. And will not remember thy sins. Their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more forever. Yes, dear soul. I will not remember their sins. Yes, why, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage, who retains not his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. And cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. A God is all that delights in mercy. Yes. And is all, yes, and when the Lord sees you and I on our knees, confessing our sin and our guilt. with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. What is it, dear? Isaiah tells us here. I think it's in the last chapter. Why, yes. And what did he say? This. That it's to this man will I look. Now it's here. Ah, yes, second verse. But to this man will I look. Aim to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Yes, dear David was a poor man. Dear David was blessed with a contrite spirit. Dear David trembled at God's word. Dear Saul, do you and I? Do you and I? Are we those gifts of the Holy Spirit of God? So that we come. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. To this man will I look, even to him, yes, even to him. Dear soul, you and I may not feel worthy of it. We may not feel. We probably will feel that we are not worthy, because we're not worthy. I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and all thy favours. Yet, even to him. Say, oh, how sometimes these little pieces of God's word, two or three words, oh, how they bring forth sweetness of the glorious gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Even to him. Yes, the Lord will look. Ah, this poor man that with a contrite spirit, this man has got a woman that's got a broken heart and a contrite spirit. This one that comes falling down before the Lord. Oh, and plain as dear David did. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Ah. According to thy loving kindness. Yes, dear soul. It was his loving kindness. Yes, that brought him from heaven, from glory. Ah, yes. What does the dear hymn writer speak about this loving kindness here in hymn number 9? Awake, my soul, in joyful lays. Sing thy great Redeemer's praise. He justly claims a song from me, his loving kindness, oh, our friend. Ah, this all, is this where you and I are found? He saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me not withstanding all. He saved me from my lost estate, his loving kindness, oh, how great. Often I feel my sinful heart prone from my Saviour to depart, but though I have him oft forgot, his loving kindness changes not. Oh, blessed be his glorious name. He remembered for them his covenant. See, he remembered for them his covenant. Ah, yes, this covenant made with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. This promised land that they should inherit. They had this. They had this, dear soul, the word of his grace. Dear soul, have you got the word of his grace? Has the Lord given you a blessed promise? Yes, oh, as he said to you, as he does here in Isaiah chapter 41, as Peter calls the exceeding great and precious promises which are in him, yea and amen in Christ Jesus. The Lord this house said this to you. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. This all is the word of his grace. Is it sealed? Has it been sealed home into your heart? What about verse 10? Fear not, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Oh, you say yes. Wonderful words. You know, you and I, we want things so often, don't we? So clear. You just take out a £10 note out of your wallet. What has it got on it? I promise to pay the bearer £10. Yes. And that's there printed by man. This desire is printed by God. Yes, his word shall never fail. Yes, the country might go bankrupt, but God's word will never go bankrupt. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Nevertheless, yes, he remembered for them his covenant. Hard is our, what has he said to you? Sealed home into your heart. As he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I'll not fear what man shall do unto me. Yes, the Lord, it is that doth go before thee. He'll be with thee, not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Yes. And he remembered for them his covenant, repented according to the multitude of his mercies. This word here, repented. Some little difficulty for us to understand, maybe. Does God repent? Does all the Lord, yes, he uses threatenings of judgment. And you say, and why, as we referred, I believe, earlier here to Leviticus chapter 26, and it's there, yes, that if they did this, if they shall confess, hard is hard. And if you and I confess, then the Lord will turn from his judgments to us. Blessed be his name. Yes. In that respect, he repents of the evil that he had pronounced against us. Yes. He remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. According to the multitude of his mercies. Dear soul, why it'll take man the rest of time to declare the multitude of his mercies. His mercies are exceeding great, they're many. Dear soul, yes, why how the dear Lord saves from death, hell, sin and the grave. Is according to the multitude of his mercies. Again, let me quote from Psalm 130, if the Lord were strict to mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand? But there is. This the blessed word, but there is. There's very positive language, but there is forgiveness with thee. So then, there is forgiveness. Yes. Ah, and dear soul, and you might come like the poor man that went up into the temple to pray. Well, there was two, but one, you see, would not so much as lift up his eye toward him. Why? Because he had the burden of sin and iniquity upon him. Oh, and the Lord heard his cry. And according to the multitude of his mercies, he had mercy upon him. And this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. What does Paul say? And moreover, whom he did call, them he also did predestinate. And whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Is how they're found in heaven, they're found in God's right hand at last. And may that be your blessed Lord and mine. But there's all this, whilst there's 43rd verse here indeed is very, very solemn indeed. But there's all this 44th and 5th verse are nevertheless, his loving kindness, his loving kindness. When he hears your prayer, when he hears mine, when he hears and sees that broken heart, yes, what does Samuel say? Yes. The Lord looks upon the heart of man. Yes, and it's true. It's true, it is. Oh, the Lord looks upon the heart. Oh, that you and I may have a broken heart, a contrite spirit. And then this hour we can be assured of that blessed word, that promise that we referred to earlier this afternoon. But to this man will not even to him. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amen.